Zehayah kisavo el haaretz asher Adonai Elohecha nosein lecha nachala virishta v'yashavta ba. And it'll come to pass when you will come to the land which God is giving you as an inheritance, and you will settle it and dwell in it. OU Israel presents
Come In. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Ki Tavo. Recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 19th day, of Elul 5778. The moon at night is already waning. And that means Rosh Hashanah is getting closer and closer, corresponding this year to August 30th. Let's just say Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130, and then we'll get down to business. But the business is joy. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Kraticha Adonai, Adonai Shema V'Koli, Tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya Adonai miya amod. Ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivata nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael. Mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam, uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziyem, mitzara lirvacha, umeafela laora, umishibud lagu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, v'nomar amen. The opening music was the beginning of what's now going to be played. It's Miami Boys Choir with Mitzvah Gedola Liyot Besimcha Tamid. I'll explain why it's here shortly after the song. In the meantime, please enjoy.
Mitzvah gedolah liyos simcha tamid. devam et. Hiç vardı dünyanın yaşasın kaldı yaşasın ha. Hiç vardı dünyanın yaşasın kaldı devam et.
Honey, I'll give you less than sharing to fall. Boy, you look fine now with one another, na na.
Okay, where to start? That's hard. Way back at the beginning of the book of Devarim, I probably repeated it one or two times thereafter, there is a famous analysis breakdown of the book of Devarim attributed to the Vilna Gaon with a slight modification from me. It goes like this. And it's based on the opening verses 1, 3, and 5 of the first chapter of Devarim. But I'm not going to get into those. The book of Devarim subdivides into three sections. The Sedras of Devarim, Voed Hanan, and Akev form the foundation and brief history, but significant history of the people of Israel to date. Moshe is now with the multitude who will be entering the land of Israel, not him, and he's got 37 days from Rosh Chodesh Shavat in the 40th year of wandering until his death on the 7th of Adar to address the people, which is basically what the entire book of Devarim is. The first three sedras, as I said before, are the history and the foundation. You have relatively few mitzvot in those three sedras total. You do have a repeat of the description of receiving of the Torah on Mount Sinai with the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. You have the Shema, its first and second passages, which is very fundamental, basic belief of Judaism, and a few other items, including the significance of the people coming to the land of Israel. And that's repeated over and over again in beautiful ways. Then you have the three sedras of Re'eh, Shofatim, and Ki Tetzé, which are heavy in mitzvot. 170 out of the 613 are counted from those three sedras, and there are other mitzvah topics that are counted elsewhere but are still presented there. And you get the sense that somewhere along the line, when Moshe said what he wanted to say about the history and the background of the people of Israel, he said, tomorrow on our assembly, we're switching tone and we're going to be studying mitzvot. Mitzvot that you already know about, mitzvot that are still yet to be told to you, all part of revelation at Sinai, but bring your notebooks and get ready to write a lot. Then you come to this week's Sedra, Ki Tavo. Next week, Nitzavim, then Vayelech Ha'azinu and Vizot HaBracha. Again, relatively few mitzvot, but you have the basis on why there exists the Jewish nation, and why we have the Torah to guide our lives and to live by, in the form of concept of free will, concept of reward and punishment, and a few other things, as will unfold in the next number of weeks. According to the Vilna Gaon, the first part of Ki Tavoh really belongs to the mitzvah section, and sure enough, that's what you have. But I think it's neater to subdivide it and break it up by sedras, whole sedras. So what we have at the beginning of Ki Tavoh is the mitzvah of Bikurim, first fruits. So now let's take a look at that. Back in Parshat Mishpatim, in the book of Shemot, Exodus, and again repeated in Ki Tisa, also in Shemot, we have a verse which says, Reshit Bikurei Admatcha, the first of the first fruits of the ground, Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, you shall bring to the house of God, namely the Beit HaMikdash, Lo Tivashel Gedi Bachalev Imo, and then enigmatically the Pasuk ends with, you shall not cook a baby animal in its mother's milk. And that whole pasuk, exactly intact, is repeated again in Ki Tisa. That's all we hear about Bikurim until we come to Ki Tavoh. And in Ki Tavoh, after the first pasuk, which I read earlier, you have details, some details, of the mitzvah of Bikurim. Vilakachta me reshit kol pri ha'adama, you will take from the first fruits, and our oral Torah teaches us that the mitzvah applied to the seven species only. And you will put them in a basket and go to the Beit HaMikdash, and there you will come to the Kohen on duty and say to him, here I am, and I've brought from the produce of the land which God has given us. And the Kohen takes the basket from you, and he places it before the Mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Torah commands the recitation of the Bikurim portion. The mitzvah to bring Bikurim is counted back in Parshat Mishpatim. The mitzvah to recite a portion of the Torah when you bring Bikurim comes from the beginning of Ki Tavoh, this week's Seder. And it contains words which are very familiar to us from the Pesach Haggadah, because our sages borrowed it from the Bikurim bringer to be used in part also to tell the story of the beginnings of the Jewish people. In a four-verse summary, you have our father Yaakov went down to Egypt with a small family, and there we grew to a multitude of people. There we were oppressed by the Egyptians and subjected to strenuous labor. We called out to God. He heard us and took us out of Egypt with great miracles, wonders, and signs. That fits the mitzvah of the Seder night to tell the story of the Exodus, and it serves as the background for the Bikurim bringer to recite. But there's a very significant difference, because the Bikurim bringer continues the story. As far as Pesach is concerned, Passover, commemorating the Exodus from Egypt, the four verses which the Baalei Haggadah included for the main mitzvah of Sippur, Yetziat Mitzrayim, is an incomplete story when it comes to the Bikurim bringer, because the Bikurim bringer not only has in his background that the Jewish people to which he belongs began with the small family of Yaakov and grew to a large nation, were oppressed in Egypt, called out to God, and were redeemed. But he, the Bikurim bringer, continues the next step, and that is Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and he brought us to this place, Vayiten lanu et haaretz hazot, and he gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That would work for Pesach night only in a situation where the Jewish people have returned in near completion, we'll say, to the land of Israel. The fact of the matter is we have a thriving Jewish community here, and technically every one of us who celebrates Pesach here in Israel should be entitled to continue from the four verses and add Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh. But since a significant number of Jews live still in Galut, in exile, in Chutz La'aretz, then we leave the Pesach recitation intact, and only in Parshat Ki Tavo, when we read about the bringing of Bikurim, do we now look to the future when the Sanhedrin will be restored, the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and Bikurim will then be brought once again to the Beit HaMikdash, and the full recitation will be appropriate. At the Seder table, we sort of equivocate. We actually have four terms of redemption that we commemorate and drink a cup of wine for each, and that's V'hotzeiti V'hitzalti V'ga'alti V'lakachti Etchem Li La'am. And we fill a fifth cup symbolically, but we don't yet drink it, to represent or correspond to the fifth term of redemption, Vayivienu El Hamakom Hazeh. And we call that cup that we don't drink, but we do fill, we call it Eliyahu's cup, the cup of Elijah, Eliyahu Hanavi, because he will be the one to announce the coming of Mashiach and the fruition of Vayivienu el Hamakom Hazeh. Now, the fact of the matter is we are in the midst of the Geula process, the redemption process, with Jews from all over the world coming back to live here. And you got to be kind of blind to not realize that Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh is talking about what's happening here in Israel. But we'll leave that aside for the moment. The Bikurim bringer is then commanded, I put the word commanded in quotes, because it's not a thing that you could really command, although the Torah does it several times. The Bikurim bringer is told by the Torah, V'samachta b'chol hatov, and you shall rejoice in all the good, Asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha ulveitecha, that God has given you and your family, you and the less fortunate among you, for you to share the bounty of the land with them. But the command of V'samachta b'chol hatov, you shall rejoice in all the good, is very significant, and let's put it now into two different perspectives. Number one, we have to go back to Parshat Shlach and Moshe Rabbeinu's repeat of the episode of the spies in Parshat Devarim. A group representing the Jewish people, a group of 12 leaders of the people, one from each tribe, came back from a 40-day sojourn in the land of Israel, and they brought back with them samples of the fruits which they picked here. Not now talking about Yehoshua and Kalev, the two who said, let's go, this is what God wants, and we're ready to go to live in Eretz Yisrael. The other 10 came back, presented the fruits, and used them as a method of frightening and scaring the people into not wanting to go into Israel. They gave a negative report. They editorialized, and they basically panicked an entire adult male population to not want to continue in God's will to go into the land of Israel. So they had many emotions at the time, but certainly joy wasn't one of them. And here the Torah is saying, you have come to live in Israel. Be happy about it. Be thrilled and delighted that you are privileged to live here. Next perspective is at the end of Parshat Re'eh. We are commanded, V'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice in and on your festivals. And from here we learn the concept of Simchat Yom Tov, the joy of Yom Tov, which manifests itself in certain sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash and certain gifts that a man buys for his wife and for his children and for himself, and the holidays call for joy. So does the mitzvah of Lulav and Etrog on Sukkot, and here so does Bikurim, but not just I'm happy to do the mitzvah of Bikurim. I am thrilled and delighted to be here in Eretz Yisrael. And I show that delight by performing the mitzvah of Bikurim. The Arizal was known to have said that the mitzvah of Bikurim is a tikkun, a repair for Chet HaMeraglim, bringing fruit from Israel. Both cases, speaking on the one hand about it's a lovely place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. And in the other case, it's a wonderful place to live, and I'm thrilled and delighted to be here. Makes a perfect tikkun and repair. But now, let's go one more step, or maybe two more steps. In Parshat Ki Tavo, a big chunk of the Sedra, a major portion, an aliyah that runs for 63 psukim, the longest aliyah in the Torah, not counting a double Sedra that we read too, is the Tochacha, which is the admonition, chastisement, reproach, has different names in English, to the Jewish people, warning in very, very graphic form, very graphic, the results, the consequences, rather, of turning one's back to God. Within this terrible, terrible description, the details of all the bad things that would happen if the people abandoned God, we have the following. And this is like right in the middle, and you sort of scratch your head. V'hayu v'cha lo'otu l'mofet, u'v'zar'acha ad olam. All of the above shall be a sign for you and your offspring. Tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav merov kol. Because you did not serve God with joy and sincere delight, even when you had everything good. Now here, in the middle of the Tochacha, and just read the Pesukim before, the Pesukim after, you really see what it's doing there in the middle. You have a sharp contrast to the mitzvah of V'samachta b'chol hatov. A person who takes the good things we get from God for granted and does not know how to thank him and does not know how to be happy with what he has is held accountable for, I guess, the equivalent of turning one's back on God. That pasuk of Tachat Asher Lo Avadta Et Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'V'Tuv Levav Merov Kol, that pasuk is very different from cursed be the one who worships idols, who commits incest, who slanders people, who steals from people. And here we have the equivalent of, and it's also not good, even if you are completely observant of the Torah, that you did not serve God with joy. There are people who keep mitzvot because that's how they were born and that's how they were raised, and they don't think about it and they just go through the motions. We're talking here about something much more than that. We're talking about people who are committed to Torah and mitzvot and who sincerely love what they are doing. Before I forget, I should have said something earlier. An important element or an important aspect of the joy one is to show in the performance of mitzvot and in having come to live in Eretz Yisrael and in having bounty is the element of hakarat hatov, being appreciative and thankful and showing gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. On that note, in a very personal way, I have always, not always, but certainly for the last 37 years, been very cognizant of the fact that I made Aliyah following Parshat Ki Teitse, when one goes out to war. That's what the Torah is talking about, but to me it was when one goes out of the United States or wherever your hometown is, and arrived midweek, Mittwoch, Wednesday, between Ki Teitse and Ki Tavo El Haaretz, when you come to the land. So the command that I had put in quotes of V'samachta b'chol hatov, you shall rejoice in all the good that God gives you. True, it is part of the recitation of the Bikurim bringer, but you could certainly apply it to anyone who comes to live in Eretz Yisrael, who does not have the ability to bring Bikurim because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash today, or because the person doesn't own fields with trees in them or grain growing, or both. And yet, not to skip over this portion, but to actually use this recitation, which we do on Pesach. That's a thought that just hit me. The Torah provided this recitation for the one bringing Bikurim. But the authors of the Haggadah, the editors of the Haggadah, required it for those celebrating Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, in the holiday of Pesach, Passover. And What I'm saying now is that even though the Baalei Haggadah temporarily stopped at God taking us out of Egypt, we should continue and say, Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and God brought me to this place, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, for whatever reason, we have to skip the next part of here are my first fruits and bowing towards the Beit HaMikdash to bow to God and then retreat. We can go to the next pasuk, which we already looked at, and apply it today, even without the mitzvah of Bikurim. V'samachta b'chol hatov, because that we are certainly capable of doing, to rejoice in all the good and acknowledge asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha ulevetecha, that God has given you, and be aware of the fact that we have to share our blessings with the Levi and the stranger in our midst. So there's actual mitzvah bikurim, that's there. And then there is the spirit of bikurim as an expression of gratitude and thanks to God for what he has given us. And that, if we don't do, we will be held accountable because of the verse in the middle of the Tochacha, and that is Tachat Asher Lo Avadto Et Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'Vetuv Levav Merov Kol. I want to play again one of my favorite songs all time, Chamol Al Ma'asecha. It's from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Davening. It asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it asks God to have mercy on his creations, that is we. So here is Chamol, and I think at the end of the show, I will put on a longer version of Chamol for those who enjoy it. But I want you to enjoy it not just with your ears, but with your heart and soul as well. prayers, which are said either very, very early in the morning or late at night. And I'll leave that purposely vague because people take liberties with the preferred time limits, time range. But they are translated into English as penitential prayers. They are prayers of asking God's forgiveness, incorporating the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 divine attributes of God, which are very special all the time, but especially this time of year. And Edot Mizrach, Sfaradim, say Slichot the entire month of Elul, starting from the day after Rosh Chodesh, from the second Elul through Erev Rosh Hashanah. Ashkenazim start on the Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night or early Sunday morning, before Rosh Hashanah, unless there aren't 4 days on which to say Slichot in that time range, in which case Slichot are begun a full week earlier. So this year, with Rosh Hashanah on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, you start Saturday night before Rosh Hashanah. There's only 1 day to say Slichot, because Sunday already is Erev Rosh Hashanah. So we pull it back a week to this Motzoi Shabbat, and we will say it Saturday night, which is Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, and then the following Sunday morning, which means 6 times, which satisfies the minimum requirement of 4. And it is that Erev Rosh Hashanah Slichot, which is extra long, because on Rosh Hashanah itself, we don't say Slichot. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. It's a day, we'll talk more about this next week in Yiratz Hashem, it's a day when your arguments and pleas have already been entered, and it is a day to be judged by God, but with the knowledge that we, the Jewish people, have a special commitment to God, and we have Yichus, meaning we are the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who found favor in God's eyes in very special ways, and we are their descendants. And we stand with a certain nervous pride and joy, even though it's mixed with seriousness of the day. And it's a day that we coronate God as king. We celebrate the anniversary of his coronation. And again, we'll talk more about that next week in Yiratz Hashem. But the Slichot begins this Motzoi Shabbat for the coming week, and then Erev Rosh Hashanah. And then many people say Slichot during Aseret Yimei Tshuva as well, until Erev Yom Kippur, where the Slichot is a minimized, because Yom Kippur is a day filled with Slichot. And that's pretty much the story. And I already said that I just passed the 37-year mark, because I am a numbers person and a statistics person. I celebrated a couple of years ago the day when I lived here as long as I had lived in the States, so that any day thereafter, I'd be past the 50% mark. I made a calculation this week that I'm up to 52.5%, and I was sort of a little disappointed because intuitively I thought it would be more, but the way percentages go, it doesn't work like that. I had a conversation with my eldest daughter, Miri, who came here not yet 5, and her percentage is now up to 88.5. And she also sounded a little disappointed, and she was hoping for 90%. And I made a calculation that Amir Tzashem, that will happen a little bit more than 6 years from now. So it works like that. My middle daughter, who came as a 19-month-old, is up to 95.75%. And our youngest daughter is a 100% living in Israel baby, even though she has her own babies who also are 100%. Anyway, that's just fun with numbers. But most importantly, it's the gratitude which my children express to me for bringing them, and which I express to God for showing me His will. I have no doubt whatsoever that the will of God, in addition to it make being a mitzvah and counted among 613 by Ramban, and being a super mitzvah according to the Rambam, who echoes the Gemara that says a person should live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city the majority of whose inhabitants are idol worshippers, rather than live in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, in a city the majority of whose inhabitants are Shomer Torah and Mitzvot Jews, Mitzvah observant Jews. This is where Jews belong. This is where God wants us to be. This is the land which He gave for the purpose of the people of Israel settling and living in the land. These were the promises He made to our forefathers. And this whole thing is one that many of us experience every single day. I tell people sometimes, stop what you're doing and take a deep breath and hold it. You have just inhaled air of Eretz Yisrael. Now breathe it out slowly and take another breath. Those of us who live here are privileged to be here, and it behooves us to thank God for that zechut, for that merit, because not everybody can come. Everybody should, but not everybody can. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Look into the Parsha. Take it all seriously. Next week, we have Nitzavim to take a look at to bring us into Rosh Hashanah. And we have Rosh Hashanah itself to discuss. In the meantime, Lehish Tameah, and here a longer version of Chamol. Shleimi Dax.
Hoy se